Track 8, How to Be a Bad Botanist. Simon Barnes loved birdwatching from childhood. Then he looked down to a flower clinging to a sea-strafed shingle bank and was won over to the wonder of plants.
Can you tell a tomato from a strawberry? A patch of grass from a Christmas tree? Well, congratulations, you are a botanist. That's the message from Norfolk writer and naturalist Simon Barnes, who's loved birdwatching all his life, came late to botany, and is eager to convert us all to the wonders of plants. His latest book, How to Be a Bad Botanist, began on a spit of sea-strafed, wind-whipped shingle at Orford Ness. Researching the wild places, which had been highlighted as worthy of preservation on a list which inspired the launch of Britain's wildlife trusts, he found himself looking at a yellow poppy clinging to the bare stones for dear life, and he realised it was the beginning of an ecosystem. Before this revelation on a Suffolk beach, he had admired plants as perches or food for birds. Suddenly, he was fascinated by everything about them, from the alchemy of photosynthesis to the complex and strange ways that they reproduce. The birder had become a botanist too. And with the zeal of a convert, he's sharing the joy of finding out about and caring about all the myriad wonders of the plant world. It begins, he believes, with names. The simple act of noticing and naming is a summoning spell, making nature more visible and relatable. There's sometimes a fear that more precision gets into the territory of being a nerd, but nerds are people who live with passion about steam engines or great literature or the most wonderful subject of all, which is natural history. Nerds want to know more, and the first thing you do, if you want to know more, is to find out the name of people or plants. Not all of us can walk through the countryside and confidently identify lady's bedstraw, ragged robin, navel wort, ivy-leaved toad flax and bladder campion, he says. But most people know the names of daisies and dandelions, oak trees and sunflowers, and once we have the words to name them, we will always notice them. Every now and then, someone tells me I changed their life, said the author of books including The Bad Bird Watcher Trilogy, Rewild Yourself, 23 Spellbinding Ways to Make Nature More Visible, and The History of the World in 100 Animals. But it wasn't me, it was nature. I opened the door, I pointed and said, look at that, it's wonderful. Simon tells his fellow bad botanists, which he defines as anyone who's not yet a good botanist, where to go and what to look for. You can add botany to the birder, but you can't take birds away from the botanist. As he talked from his home in the Chet Valley near Loddon, his view was of the marshland and meadow leading down to the river. And that morning he'd seen a marsh harrier, and suddenly he exclaimed, a sparrowhawk just went by 6 feet from my window. Simon's love affair with the natural world began as a child. He was fascinated by birds, both those he saw around him and the exotic creatures featured on David Attenborough documentaries. I kind of went away from nature when I was a teenager, said Simon. It was important to be as boring as possible to fit in, so I dropped all the interesting parts and later acquired them again when I just turned 30. It was a life-changing experience, and I've been trying to bring that experience to everyone else ever since. He fell for botany on Orford Ness, that otherworldly landscape of shifting shingle, military huts and huge concrete pagodas, where warplanes, radar and the casings of atom bombs were once tested and now cared for by the National Trust. In this stone-dry, sea-salted, shifting place, on a peninsula which had been devoted to developing the technology of death, Simon found life, sea pea, sea kale and the yellow-horned poppy. Obviously, you can't grow plants on a heap of stones, except that there they were, said Simon, growing What's more, some of them had flowers, huge yellow flowers, 3 inches across, as bright and beautiful as you could wish. What a ridiculous place to be a plant. There seemed to be nothing in this place to make plant life possible, still less agreeable. Why not choose rainforest or a back garden? The revelation that plants birthed whole ecosystems, and were individually fascinating too, sparked a new passion. So, has he a favourite plant? I've fallen in love with all of them, how they all fit together, said Simon. But his absolute favourite is the purple loosestrife, which grows on river banks across the Broads in the summer. They're fantastic. Fantastic colour, absolutely glowing, even in a drought when everything else is withered, said Simon, who was a sport and wildlife writer for The Times. Before moving to Norfolk, he and his wife, the artist Cindy Lee Wright, lived in Peasnall near Halesworth. As an ambassador for the Halesworth-based World Land Trust, which buys land to create wildlife reserves, he is delighted to have met patron and his childhood hero, David Attenborough. People say, never meet your hero, but make an exception if your hero is David Attenborough, said Simon. And he said that while some people might have letters after their names denoting honours, he is Simon Barnes, HDDA, or had a drink with David Attenborough. No greater honour could possibly exist. Over the past 11 years, Simon and Cindy have created their own conservation area around their home. Here they've seen more than 100 species of birds, otters and hedgehogs, and Simon is now thrilled to be finding out about a paradise of plant life. The more you can do for wildlife, the more you'll enjoy your garden, he said. Wildlife gardening is not just out of the goodness of your heart, it's for you. If you plant a bed of catmint, you'll not only get this nice smell and beautiful expanse of purple, but it'll be buzzing with bees. You can sit down there with a cup of tea, or something even nicer, and watch the thinking person's TV. So, what's on the schedule in May? Well, absolutely everything, said Simon. The year is turning from promise to achievement. The May bushes, or hawthorn, are out. The tree buds have burst. The dead land of winter is changing into a land of fecundity. Everything has turned green. Where I am, I look out particularly for a frail little thing called the cuckoo flower. It flowers at the time the cuckoos call and looks almost too fragile to live. And yet here it is, in this wet valley, with its pinky white, almost transparent flowers. Warblers. They'll be singing in May. We get reed warblers, sedge warblers, Setti's warbler, and a couple of orchids, which aren't anything for an orchid hunter to get excited about, but are gorgeous things. A garden is what you want it to be and what you need it to be. As a boy, there was a sycamore tree I could climb, which made it a good space for me. Or perhaps it's a space to kick a ball around, but just make sure you have some nettles, because they are the food plant for most of our favourite garden butterflies, including comma, small tortoiseshell and painted lady. How to Be a Bad Botanist aims to open our eyes to the wonders around us and reveal everybody is a botanist. Everybody who's ever looked at a plant and said, that's nice, and is capable of making botanical distinction, such as that's a lawn and that's a Christmas tree, or that's a tomato and that's a strawberry, said Simon. How to Be a Bad Botanist by Simon Barnes is published by Simon & Schuster.